Rule number 13. No getting up while the bus is in motion. Joey Fields was the one who threw up. I guess I sort of figured that it would be him. It was still a surprise. It was as we were going over a really big bump, a pothole on one of the country roads we had to take to get to Honey Pot Prairie, that it happened. Sophie was right. The seats on the school bus really are well padded and compartmentalized for safety. You don't go flying when those back wheels hit something. Not unless you let your body go totally limp, like Rosemary taught me. That's what I was doing when Joey, who'd been complaining of feeling motion sick, just completely heaved. The bus driver had to pull over and let us all out so he and Mrs. Hunter could clean it up. Mrs. Hunter kept yelling, "Be careful, don't step in it," as we ran off, trying to escape the terrible odor. But I think a bunch of people stepped in it anyway, because it still smelled pretty bad when we got back on, even though everyone put their windows down as far as they would go. Joey felt awful about it, especially when Brittany and Mary Kay and those guys, who made fast friends with Patrick Day and Stuart Maxwell, started calling him Chuck, as in Up Chuck. "Hey, nice going, Chuck," they kept saying to Joey when we were back on the bus. "What a magnificent odor you've created, Chuck." Joey already felt bad enough, seeing as how he'd just thrown up. They didn't have to make it worse. Every time I looked over at him, sitting slumped by himself on a seat, because no one would sit next to the boy who had thrown up. Not that anyone had wanted to sit next to Joey in the first place, because Joey is also the boy who barks. I felt really sorry for him. His face was practically green. Plus, he had his pants rolled up to look like knickers and that silly hat with the raccoon tail. It was all just so sad. Almost as sad as me. The girl whose mother doesn't think she's responsible enough to own a cell phone. Whose cat won't come out of the wall. So finally I said, "You guys cut it out." That was when Mary Kay finally said something to me, her ex-best friend, whose chance to see the rare collectible Barbie exhibit she'd ruined. Mary Kay had just been sitting there in perfect silence the whole time, smiling her stupid, terrible, "I'm sorry, but not really," smile at no one in particular, when all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she piped up with, "What's the matter, Allie? Is Chuck your boyfriend?" Just like that. Of course, the minute she said it, Stuart and Patrick were like, "Yeah, Chuck's Allie's boyfriend." And Rosemary couldn't get up to pound them into being quiet because the bus was moving. And Mr. Curtis had said, "No getting up while the bus was in motion, or he would personally put us off the bus." He didn't care where. It could be the highway. We could just live by the side of the highway for all Mr. Curtis cared. It was Mr. Curtis's rule. A part of me couldn't believe Mary Kay had asked such a stupid question. She knew Joey wasn't my boyfriend because in the limo to Brittany Hauser's birthday party, I told her and all those girls that I didn't have a boyfriend. But another part of me knew exactly why Mary Kay had done it. She'd done it to embarrass me in front of everyone in my, not so much anymore, new school. Because that's the kind of friend Mary Kay is. So I was just like, "Yeah, that's right, Joey is my boyfriend," in the most sarcastic voice possible to show Mary Kay she hadn't embarrassed me at all. But some people are immune to sarcasm, which was why Brittany and Mary Kay and all those guys, including Stuart and Patrick and practically half the bus, started singing, "Stinkle and Up Chuck sitting in a tree, K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Stinkle Chuck in a baby carriage." Like this was the most creative, hilarious song in all of creation. Which didn't really bother me, because I knew they were just being stupid. What did I care if they sang a stupid song about me and Joey kissing and getting married and having a Stinkle Chuck baby? There's no such thing as a Stinkle Chuck baby. And that didn't mean it was going to come true. And also, reacting to it would just make them do it more. So I ignored it. And also, I could tell that their singing that song was making Cheyenne really mad because all the boys, except Scott Stampfli and his friend Paul, who were trying to play with their Nintendos and looked annoyed by all the commotion, were paying attention to me and not to her. And anything that made Cheyenne mad made me happy. Cheyenne kept looking back from her row on the bus like, what is going on back there and why is Allie getting all the attention? I almost expected Cheyenne to raise her hand and be like, Mrs. Hunter, please make the boys pay attention to me now. Only she didn't, which was almost as disappointing as her hoop skirt not flying up over her head. The only thing I was worried about was Joey. Because for some reason, instead of looking miserable about everyone teasing him about liking me, he looked happier. And I started to suspect that the reason he was happy was because he'd believed it when I said he was my boyfriend. That I liked him in a lovey-dovey way, not an I feel sorry for you way. Which I do not. So then, I started worrying that I was going to have that to deal with all day, in addition to Mary Kay being such a snot, and my worries about Musy and Mrs. Hunter and David, and the fact that I was wearing a nightgown to school during the daytime. How do I get myself into these situations? I swear, I was starting to give Uncle Jay's walkabout idea some serious consideration. Maybe I'd just break Mr. Curtis's rule about getting up from my seat. Then, Mr. Curtis would put me off on the side of the road, and I could just go looking for my spiritual path. That would have to be preferable to the path I was currently on, wouldn't it? Finally, the bus pulled into the parking lot of Honey Pot Prairie, and we were able to get off the smelly bus, which Mr. Curtis promised he was going to take away and properly hose down before we took it back home, so it wouldn't smell of Joey's throw-up anymore. There were four people standing in the parking lot waiting for us. One was dressed like an old-timey blacksmith. One was dressed like an old-timey schoolteacher. One was dressed like an old-timey baker. And the fourth was a lady with really long hair, dressed like an old-timey... Well, I don't even know what she was supposed to be, to tell you the truth. Each one was holding a sign that said the name of the teams to which we were about to be assigned. Oh, no, Rosemary said, looking at the old-timey people out the window. I knew exactly how she felt, like going on a walkabout. As you get off the bus, Mrs. Hunter yelled, you'll be handed a slip of paper. That slip of paper will have the name of the team to which you've been assigned. Do not lose that slip of paper. If we're not on the same team, I heard Brittany whisper to Cheyenne, trade with someone. And no trading, Miss Myers called out, almost as if she'd overheard. But she couldn't have. There was still so much singing about the Stinklechuck baby. If we find out you've traded, the punishment will be severe. Remember, we want you to learn to work as a team with people you normally wouldn't get to know.
Trade anyway, I heard Mary Kay say. I don't want to be on a team with, you know...
I knew exactly who she meant because I saw her gaze dart in the direction of the person she meant. Me. I felt my cheeks turning red again, but this time it had nothing to do with Scott Stampley. I couldn't believe Mary Kay had ever been my friend, let alone my best friend. What had I ever seen in her? She was a super snob. Stepping off the bus, I saw the smiling face of my old teacher, Ms. Myers. She was handing out slips of paper to everyone who went by her. When she saw me, her smile broadened. Hi, Allie, she said. She remembered me.
Hi, Ms. Myers, I said, feeling a little shy.
You look so nice today, she said, meaning my nightgown and apron. Like a real prairie girl.
Thanks, I said. See? There was nothing wrong with our period costumes. Brittany and Cheyenne were wrong. We looked nice. Even Ms. Myers thought so.
Here you go, she said, sticking a slip of paper in my hand.
Thanks, I said, and looked down at it. Team Shawnee. I glanced around and saw that the schoolteacher lady was holding the sign that said Shawnee. Lenny Sue was standing next to her. I also saw... to my extreme disappointment, that Scott Stampley, his friend Paul, Stuart, and Patrick Day were standing next to her. Great. Also, typical that I would get assigned to the team with those guys on it. Going on a walkabout had never seemed so appealing.
Hey, I said, turning around to Rosemary, what did you get?
Team Illini, she said. You?
Stupid Team Shawnee, I said.
I'm Illini, too, Sophie said. Caroline and Erica were both Pawnee.
No fair, I said. I am the only Shawnee.
Rosemary said. No, you've got plenty of company. Look.
I looked. To my horror, Cheyenne, Brittany, Mary Kay, M&D, and Lauren and Paige, but not Courtney, were hurrying toward the schoolteacher lady holding the Team Shawnee sign. There was no way they all could have ended up on the same team. There was only one answer. They had traded. They had all totally broken the rules and traded, even though they knew the punishment for breaking the rule was going to be severe. All the girls were giggling excitedly beneath their bonnet brims and making googly eyes at Scott, Stuart, Patrick, and Paul. Suddenly, I knew how Joey must have felt on the bus right before he heaved, because I wanted to throw up, too.
Oh, come on, you guys. I turned around and said to my friends, no fair, somebody trade me.
Oh, Erica said, looking pained. You know ordinarily I do it, Allie. Only you heard Ms. Myers. No trading.
Yeah, Caroline said, staring as Cheyenne sashayed up to Scott, opened her parasol and started twirling it in front of him like she was insane.
Sorry, Allie.
You can't possibly think any of us would trade with you, Allie, Sophie said, stating the bald truth of the matter as usual. After the things you told us about that birthday party you went to with those girls, I mean, there's no way. Me and my big mouth.
I glanced over my shoulder. Patrick was kicking Cheyenne's hoop skirt to make it sway. Cheyenne shrieked in mock outrage and darted away. Brittany and Mary Kay laughed hysterically, like this was the funniest thing they'd ever seen in their entire lives. I couldn't believe this was how I was going to have to spend my first ever field trip. Not only at the world's most boring, non-interactive living history museum with no Barbies, but with all the people I hated most. Even though it's wrong to hate people, of course.
Oh, fine, Rosemary said with a sigh. I'll do it.
I looked up at her, tears practically shining in my eyes.
Really, Rosemary? I cried. You will?
Sure, Rosemary said with a shrug. I can't stand to see you making that Stinklechuck baby face. What do I care about a bunch of dumb, snobby girls? It's just one day. Besides, we're buddies, remember?
I wanted to hug her, except that Rosemary wasn't exactly the kind of person you hugged. I thanked her. Except, what's a Stinklechuck baby face, I wondered. And turned and was about to go running over to Team Illini when I happened to glance back at Team Shawnee one last time. I really, really wish I hadn't. Because then, I wouldn't have seen what I saw.